1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Yeah, the Phil Hendry Show. We do all the, I do, what am I saying, we? I, me. I do all the voices of the characters that you hear on this program, whether it's Bobby and Steve Dooley, whether it's Jeff Dowder, whether it's a, I guess those are the only three we do. No, whether it's, you know, all those other guys that we do. And that's kind of our thing, our hook, if you will. Now, this hour, it is You May Now Talk to Phil. We do this on occasion. 1-800-449-8686. Get your impressions, your feelings on philosophies, opinions expressed in the program. 1-800-449-8686. We'll take your comments, your questions here about our show. And also, we'd like to hear from you as to what your favorite bit from the year 2001 has been, because we're getting ready to put together our Best of 2001 CD. And that will include, hopefully, it'll include some of the things that you guys talk about with us here today. And while we're sort of waiting for you guys to call in, we just saw this very dramatic footage of that missionary plane getting shot down over Peru. And they also had the black box recordings of the pilots talking to each other. And it's really heavy to watch this. It's really heartrending because this was an innocent, these were innocent people they were shooting at. And, of course, they were shooting at them because they thought they were running drugs. And this is the war on drugs that's been going on, the U.S. government shooting at drug runners and drug runners shooting back. And we're interceding or interdicting, as they say, in Colombia and Peru and places like that, U.S. military advisors trying to keep the dope out of America, right? I had a really good idea, and I don't know what you guys think about this in terms of the war on drugs. Why don't you all stop using it? Now, there's a, what do you think? Put down your freaking crack pipe and your rock pipe. And, you know, quit packing your nose. Hey, there's a great idea. Then there ain't nobody buying it. Oh, you mean that's too easy? Why don't you guys, with your whatever it is, the problem you got, get some help for your problem? That way we ain't shooting down anybody. And we don't send a bunch of knuckleheads down there. And they're running around through the jungle chasing all these guys that are living like kings anyway. Like the Brendan Fraser in that one movie with Elizabeth Hurley. Whatever that movie, Bedazzled. Remember, he was a drug dealer in South America and he's living large. And he's a geek, and it's another crappy Brendan Fraser movie. But in any event, although I hear that Monkey Bone's fantastic. I didn't see it, but Craig's seen it 5 times. He loves it. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. You may now talk to Phil. And this is our opportunity for our listeners to check in on the program and sort of inject some reality into what is otherwise a fanciful and a fantastical kind of radio show featuring all kinds of radio theater. That's what we do, okay? Maybe we say it too much, but somebody's got to say it because God knows, in this day and age, what passes for greatness is just generally, you know, the usual same old, and I mean, we do, you know, hosts, guests, callers, it's just that they're all fake. That's the way I like it. Okay, Richard, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, good. I've been listening to you for years.
Wow.
I've just been wondering, when are you ever going to get in the car out there on 101 or somewhere and be talking to Harvey Wireman in the studio?
Well, I can do that. And I don't have to be in the car.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can just be on the phone and Harvey can be in the studio. In fact, I have done that.
And Ruth from Anaheim, remember her?
Yeah.
When are we going to get our new Ruth on button number 2?
What?
On, you remember the phone call where she would call in and when she didn't like something.
Yeah, push button number 2. You like that bit?
You remember that one, right?
Yeah, I do. And I don't know if that was from 2001, though.
No, but we need a new one, a new person to replace Ruth.
Yeah, you know, Ruth, there was the longest time we wondered if she was for real.
Oh, yeah,
and,
she was.
Yeah, and I realized that she was for real only after we lost her, because when we went to a new phone number and we changed our old phone number, she didn't call again. And I would say, Ruth, call, and she never called she just sat out there in la-la land, not
exactly
understanding what was going on, yeah.
But I knew she was real when we used to talk about going to Laughlin, pulling candles.
Going to Laughlin on the bus.
And you were telling her she was playing the dollar machines. She says, no, I pay the $5 machines.
Absolutely. She plays the $5 machines, and she's not a slut, and you're not going to talk to her like that. She was great. I loved
her. That's right, for an old woman. But, you know, another thing is, everybody out there, it's pretty much just Phil Hendry. Pass it on.
Thanks.
That's all anybody has to do out there.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Is the bitch on?
Oh, I'm a bitch, am I?
Oh, you certainly are. You're more than a bitch. You're a son of a bitch. That's what you are.
Well, I am.
Listen, you. You have the nerve to not want the blind children to sit down. Wait, my dear. There's a God above.
Why should they be allowed in front of the line?
What?
You heard me, you old...
No, you're the old bitch, not me.
How dare you, you old bag.
Listen,
why should
you...
blind children be allowed to the front of the line, yes or no?
They should
yes
be allowed. And you wait,
what?
Your day is coming. Maybe someday you'll be blind and see how what it's like.
No, darling, I take very good care of myself.
Yeah, you must have a fat ass in everybody's way. That's what
ass
you are.
I have been told I have a very pert ass.
Oh, yeah, I can
breath
imagine. Yeah.
I've been told
you
I
know what? You're all
ass
stuck on yourself, and I bet you look like a freak.
Exactly how old are you?
What would you give to know?
I can guess, and I think it begins with an 8.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, you're not a good guesser.
All right, it begins with a 9.
Well, what do you begin with a 9?
No,
what do you begin with a 9?
You begin with a 9-iron.
No.
I went to work an event. I'm not sitting collecting my pension. I went out, and I worked an event.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a press pass. All right, did
there
you...
There's plenty of people working.
All right,
stop bragging about you. Braggadocia. Yeah.
A what?
Everything is you, you, you.
Let me guess, you're Jewish. I was...
What does that have to do with anything?
I'll tell you right now. I'm working, I'm contributing to society.
Oh,
I'm
yes
not sitting watching reruns of Sheriff John and going
yes
up and shuffling and getting myself...
Yeah, keep putting medals on yourself.
I'm
yeah
not shuffling in.
You know
the
what? Self-praise stinks.
And I will tell you, I'm not praising myself. I work for a living. I'm not shuffling
yeah
around with a tin cup.
Yeah.
And when I ask to get to the front of the line, when I ask for a good table in a restaurant, they better hop to it.
Well, it's
and
a good...
Let me ask you something, Margaret.
Listen, you.
I need
it's
to ask a
good
question.
Thing I wasn't there, because I would have taken you by the head and pushed you right to the end of the line.
I would have scratched you and slapped you.
I would have grabbed your wig off your head.
I would have taken you and pushed you.
Yeah. You just
then,
try
then,
it.
Yeah,
you
but,
just try
yeah,
it.
I would have slapped your rude
I would have straightened
face
you out in 1 minute.
Let me guess. Your favorite actor is Andy Griffith.
What?
Your favorite actor is Andy Griffith.
What has Andy Griffin got to do with this?
Andy Griffin?
Well, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about the state of your life there in Anaheim, there in the small condominium that your daughter bought you, driving off to see the Sybil reruns or the Sybil taping in Hollywood.
Don't you wish you had it?
$5.
Yeah, don't
you
wish you had it?
I bet you make your weekend runs to Laughlin, don't you?
I certainly do.
Oh, you bet you do. Throwing those nickels into the machine while some poor father of 5 is sitting next to you. He wants that big $50,000
jackpot. I don't use the nickel machines. I use the dollar machine.
$50,000 jackpot because
yeah
you're so damn lucky. And I hate the old people who get lucky on slot machines.
You know, you take a lot for granted. How do you know how old I am?
You sit there in front of the nickel slot and then you shuffle over to the dollar
slot. No, I don't sit in front of the nickel slot. You got that wrong. I sit at the dollar slot.
Then you go and play some Keno. Go and play a little. Eat your one a day and drink your Metamucil and hush up.
What, are you jealous? Are you jealous that you...
All right, well, this is way off the point here.
You're too busy condemning the blind people, so God will punish you.
Don't
worry about that.
I'm simply saying a blind person doesn't need to be to the front of the line. What is there to see on the...
They certainly do have to be to the front of the line.
Why? What is there to see on the roller coaster? Oh,
because they are blind, you let them get to the front of the line.
Oh, you're upset because they canceled Murder, She Wrote. Now,
you're full of crap.
Come on. All right, thank you very much. So let me say this. I wanted to say this. If you're standing in line, what is your name, ma'am, in Anaheim? The lady in Anaheim, what's your name?
Ruth.
And what, in Margaret?
Yes.
If Ruth was in front of you in line, what would you say to her?
I'd say, excuse me, I'm a working member of the media. Would you please get a step aside?
Media? You know what you can do with that media, don't you?
All right, and then what would you say to her?
Shove it up your behind.
That's Ruth. Great. And she's gone. Ruth from Anaheim. She's gone, never to be heard from again. And I think her son called one time and said, you know, that's my mother, and she's completely and totally innocent, and she's calling the show. She used to call us all the time, but when we changed phone numbers. We went from the 213 number to the 800 number, and we lost her, man. And we'd be on the air saying, I guess she decided to quit listening to the show. She probably couldn't stand it. Did you ever think about that, Phil? 1-800-449-8686. Here is Chris. Hi, Chris. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how's it going, Phil?
Good.
I just wanted to tell you that the reason I started listening to the show, the first bit I heard was calling Kristen Brewster wanting to replace all the airline people with white English-speaking Americans so they wouldn't crash the plane.
Oh, yeah?
And that was the first
wow
bit I heard. But I have to tell you, my favorite part of the show is all the great phrases that you've introduced to our daily vocabulary, like jive ass and jackball and people getting greased and girls as bush pigs.
Yes, I mean, yes. Do you use that one much?
Oh, I find myself using that more and more every day.
More and more every day. Your life is really on the upswing there, Chris.
Oh, you know it.
Well, good. If I can introduce into one's lexicon the term bush pig to further enhance the relationship between the sexes, the job is done.
Oh, yeah.
We'll wipe off our hands, put our hat on, just bust the dust from our saddle and ride away. Thanks, Chris. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Phil.
Bye, buddy. Bye-bye. Bush pig. And I learned that one from Mike Schaefer. Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show, this is You May Now Talk to Phil, our weekly feature where you can check in with us and we stop down. We're human. We're not just complete animals around here. We can actually answer questions, hear your comments, opinions about the show, about things we talk about on the show. Frankly, you know, we do offer a lot of opinions on this program. Like the last bit we did, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley believing that the Republican Party would encourage cloning to replace all the illegal immigrants. The clonoids would be working in the field. Obviously an attempt to make Republicans look stupid. And yet nobody has an opinion about that because they just love me no matter what. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I'm kidding. You can talk about anything you want. We would like to hear your pick for best bits of the year 2001 because it's getting to be that time. It's like this month, Mike. We got to put this thing together. Here's Rebecca on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, I'm so excited to talk to you.
Are you in Valencia, California?
Yeah, I am.
Now, where are you listening to us?
Over the internet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have a question. I'm a big fan of Rudy Canosa.
Yeah?
And I was just wondering if you speak Spanish yourself or where you learn it or who helps you with the bits.
My wife speaks Spanish, and we also go to babblefish.com. You ever been to that website?
I haven't.
Yeah, babblefish.com will translate an English phrase into Spanish. But it's not that good because it doesn't know colloquial Spanish. So if we say, like, you look like a bush pig, it will do some literal translation that doesn't work. My wife, excuse me, speaks Spanish. When we were over at KFI, Emilio Limon, who produced Bill Handel, he spoke Spanish and knew colloquial Spanish.
Right.
We did one bit that was really kind of, it was very gross. It was it was a bit where I think Brass had written on the back of some guy's car in the dirt, on the back of some guy's car, sperm is my lunch. And so we... excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat or something.
Yeah, are you okay?
I don't know, I'm smoking too much pot. So I said, how do you translate that colloquially? Because the actual Spanish term for sperm and then the colloquial phrase, two completely different things. So if you got a Spanish-speaking person, you're way ahead of the game. So that's how we do it. We either use my wife, Emiliano, or Babblefish.
Oh, it is so great. I love Rudy.
Yeah,
I know that sounds kind of awkward, probably a woman liking him that much, but it cracks me up.
Yeah, when he's with his la-la-la, how can you resist? Yeah.
Hey, when are we going to get some merchandise out for you, for Phil Hendry?
Yeah, I don't know. Phil Hendry Show merchandise. Somebody asked us about that. We got an idea for a license plate frame that would just simply say, I'm Ted Bell on it. And then we had an idea for, what do you think of that? And then we had an idea for like a Ted's of Beverly Hills T-shirts.
Those would be great.
Yeah, we thought those would be really cool.
I'd buy one.
Because they wouldn't say anything about the Phil Hendry Show. It would be extremely inside. Just people who knew the show.
They're
just
true fans.
Where do you get the Ted's of Beverly Hills shirt? And, you know, like you can't, so.
Right.
That'll happen just as soon as all the other contracts around here get renegotiated. You know, they've got to pay Rush, I think, another $250
million. Right.
And then they have to give Laura another $250 million. Then they got to give Mike Reagan another $250 million.
And then you're next.
And then I'm next for $250. And then we're set.
Great.
Okay, Rebecca, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. $250 million. Yeah, that's sweet. It's a thing you dream of. It's the end of the line, isn't it? You get a deal like that, that's it. I'd quit. But then I realized, no, I'd be in breach of the deal. So then I wouldn't get my money. So I guess they'd have to work to the end of the deal, I guess. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Here is Tyrone. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Tyrone.
Hey, Tyrone from Littleton. How are you, man?
Very good.
Good. I love your show. I just wanted to say that I work with a lot of comics out here in Colorado. We get together and we've got a little cult following on you.
And, really? In the how's the comedy scene in is it Denver? Is that the
Denver, Colorado, the home of the Comedy Works. And we all just love getting together and hearing how you put together some of these great bits.
Thank you.
And how do you do it? Do you just get together and knock down a bottle of hooch?
Yeah, that's every day. I'm drinking on the job. No, I come in here with Mike, and we just, you know, what do you want to do? I don't know. We sit there. We scream. We yell.
Yeah.
We throw crap at the window. I get up. I go, I can't stand my job. You know, I can't think of anything. And then the cloning thing. Okay, let's, you know. And then, football. A guy died from football. Well, and we decided today, for instance, you know, this poor kid with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
We worked over that for like 20. I finally looked at Mike. I said, there's nothing funny about a guy dying. I mean, not now, you know. And he said, yeah, I'm not laughing either. I said, let's move past that.
Yeah.
So you
do poke fun at a lot of stuff that doesn't seem to be funny, though, and that and still are able to pull it off a lot of the times. It's amazing.
And then sometimes it's not funny. No, you gotta be topical.
Yeah,
and that's sometimes the toughest thing because I don't.
All comedy is like that, and I'm curious.
Yeah.
To know, did you ever get up and do stand up at all?
No, I didn't. I never did any stand up. I emceed a couple of comedy gigs when I worked in Minneapolis for a couple of clubs up there. I've never done. I think stand up's got to be the hardest thing in the world. You guys are my heroes. I mean, how can you possibly stand there night after night and having people just throwing insult after insult and heckle you?
And wine bottles.
And tell you how much you suck and you got chicken wire in front of you.
Mostly it's because we just hate ourselves and we're just looking for the abuse, I guess.
It must be. I mean, there's got to be some truth in that, yeah. I mean, so to me, that's the toughest gig that there
is. I wanted to bring up that, you know, you say your 2001's coming out.
Right.
I didn't get a hold of your first CD. I'm going to have to get online and pick that up or something.
But, uh-huh.
You've got a bit that just brought me to pee in my pants one night. I was getting out of the car, and I had to sit in the car and just contain myself. You had a Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10.
Yeah.
And he got a phone call from a lady that it was a wrong number, and you were transferring from all the voices, and there was a guy selling her magazines on the doorstep, and she didn't hang up the phone, and Bud's still going on with the Weekly Top 10, but yelling at the phone, telling the lady to hang up.
Do you remember
that one?
No, I don't. Do you know that one, Mike? Mike knows it. We'll pull it.
That one is hysterical.
Okay.
Oh, I told him I was going to talk about something else. But that
Mike's in there pulling it right now, in fact. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you very much, sir.
Hey, thanks, Phil.
Good of you to call. Thanks. Bye-bye. Is this a Ruth bit?
We have Young Brass Vallejo on the line, who is one of the founding members of the Young Entrepreneurs League. You have a bumper sticker that says, success is the only option.
That's right. Success is the only option. And we also have that in Spanish. And I am profoundly, profoundly confused as to why people would interpret that to mean anything other than that.
Well, they are saying, and I am loath to even repeat this, it is so grotesque. They're saying, esperme es mi almuerzo, means...
I heard what the man said.
All right, you heard what the man said. Let me get Ruth on the line here from Anaheim. She is doing quality control for us this evening. If she hears anything that she is offended by, we have asked her to hit the number 2 on her touch-tone phone, which will register with our programming computer. Ruth, you know what this phrase was. What was it?
Push number two. When I hear something filthy like
right.
That
push.
Dirty mouth that was just on.
What did I say?
Oh, come on. I don't like to hear that filth. You got nothing up here in your brain.
Well, the phrase was, sperm is my lunch.
Yeah, that's nice,
that.
Isn't it?
I did not say that. That is not what that bumper sticker says.
Well, I am told that esperme
you
es mi almuerzo.
You said that. Don't tell me you didn't say it. I heard it right from your mouth saying it.
Lady,
you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Lady, what I think you are is some old lady who's full of a bunch of crap.
Well, you're full of...
I don't think that...
All right, go ahead.
That's all you
well,
you know
just an old
filth.
Lady and she doesn't know what's going on. You don't know what time it is out on the street. I'm out there with the young people.
Well, that's where you belong.
I'm up there with
you belong in the streets. You don't belong in a home with that filthy mouth you have.
I got no filthy mouth. What did I say that was wrong? I said success is my only option. That's what young people should say.
All right. Let me get to another caller here in Orange on KFI AM 640. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Listen, I don't know why you don't push a button and put these people off the air. I've never... listen to this station before, but it was so obscene till I thought I'd just continue to listen for a little bit. Why don't you put that guy off? He's talking about the old people and wearing diapers.
Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You may now talk to Phil is the hour we do once a week where our audience can recognize that we're actually real people here and we take real phone calls and you can talk to us about the show. And we're also getting ideas from people on what we should put onto our Best of the Year 2001 CD. And also, just whatever opinions or comments you have about the kinds of points of view that we put forward on the program, we'd be happy to hear those too, I guess. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Kenya on The Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Kenya.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, if it wasn't for your show, I would never get through the day at work.
Wow, thank you.
We listen to your show every single day.
That's cool. Thank you. That's cool.
And we love Dave Oliva.
Yeah.
And we have a suggestion for,
I love
you,
him
for
too.
Your new CD.
Uh-huh.
The one when he's talking about the police messing around with people with the oregano baggie.
Yeah, when Dave said that it was hilarious, man.
Right.
Yeah. In other words, the cops just think it's really funny to plant oregano on somebody and scare the crap out of them and then say they're just kidding.
Yeah, when we heard that, when you said, so what's up now? We said that for weeks in here.
Ooh, what's up now? Hey, Mike, do we know where that Dave Oliva bit is? Somewhere in the archives? Somewhere in our dad archive? Okay, Kenya. Well, that's very nice of you to say. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How's Comb Over Boy doing these days?
I don't even...
You know, the guy that talks like this! Oh.
Well, I was really pissed when they stopped playing you live here, but...
That and your material. Anyway, Kenya, thank you so much for your nice comment.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to do that. We're going to get Dave Oliva on for you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. If we find it. Here is Chris on The Phil Hendry Show. Chris?
Hey, Phil, big fan of your show. I'm trying to get a petition going to get them to put you back on one of the radio stations here.
Well, where are you at?
I'm in Illinois.
Are you in Chicago?
No, Glen Ellen, but originally you were on 105.9.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was out of Chicago, CKG.
Yeah, they stopped playing you, though, and me and a few of my friends have been trying to get a petition together.
Well, hey, we had a really great book in Chicago, too. We, like, pulled a five share in Chicago. So, I don't know. It was some business decision having to do with rude remark I made about the Jewish heritage of the ownership. No, I didn't say anything like that. I don't know what it was.
There are a couple questions I had for you.
Yeah.
One thing was, where did you come up with the idea for Jay Santos? I've always wondered that.
The original idea for Jay Santos came from a movie by Steven Spielberg called Sugarland Express. And in that movie, these sort of police reservists go chasing these criminals. They're driving their little imported car with the phony police lights that they mounted on the top, and they've got these phony badges they made. And I realized that there's this subculture of cop wannabes, and that they even kind of create their little auxiliary units. And then during the Gulf War, I live in California, Chris, and we have a naval base up here called Point Magoo. And during the Gulf War, they actually arrested six guys who had gotten onto the base and were drilling. They were walking up and down with guns as if they were in a little military unit. And when they arrested these guys and questioned them, they said, well, we're part of the United States Army Auxiliary. In other words, they just came up with a phony military adjunct organization. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't. But I thought it was interesting. And that's when I had the idea. I was working up at KVN. I had the idea. I wonder if I could get onto a military base wearing a Federation of Planets uniform from Star Trek. So I talked a friend of mine into driving a beer truck, and I would sit shotgun wearing a Captain Kirk uniform, and if they asked me, did I have business there, I'd say, yes, Phil Hendry, Federation of Planets, and just see how far onto the base I could get, which naturally, not far at all. In fact, I got a call from Navy Intelligence. I swear to God, I got a call. This guy calls and says, hi, Phil. Yes, sir. Right, Bob Hauser, Navy Intelligence over here at Point Magoo. Listen, I know you're probably just screwing around, but you really don't want to come on the base and play Army, do you? No, sir, I don't. I was just a bit for my show. Okay, we had some complaint calls, you know. So that is the exact answer as to where I got the ideas for them. It was actually that Army Auxiliary thing. I thought that was just hysterical.
There were a couple Phil Hendry bits that I think were just perfect. One of them was when you had R.C. Collins on saying how the boy bands are the cutting edge of music.
Right. There you go.
Another one was when you had Jay Santos going around talking about, like, photographing everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other one was the guy who was pretty much allergic to everything and was trying to get all of America to switch to set things up so that it would suit him.
Yeah, Dean Wheeler. In fact, somebody called, and he thought he could smell that person's cologne through the phone. And so he wanted the person to hang up because he was allergic to their phone call.
Oh, yeah. Phil, have you heard about the search engine that was designed for your site?
No, I haven't.
I found this fan site. It has every single thing you've done from 1999 archived in there. It has pretty much everything loaded in MP3s.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
There's a lot of stuff on Napster, and so I know that there's a lot of... There's probably more stuff of our show available, and when our website finally gets up and running, we're going to have a lot of cool stuff archived. So if you want stuff, go to philhenryshow.com, and I'll let you guys know when. Thank you very much. I was going to mention that,
because a lot of the MP3s on your site...
Yeah.
Everything except the live stream audio keeps failing.
All right, dude. I'll kick somebody's ass on that one. Thanks, Chris. All right, buddy. Thank you for calling. Yeah, MP3. We began drifting into areas that I have no frame of reference for. I always thought MP3 was the site. I'm like, www.mp3, and I didn't know what I was doing. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Ike. Hi, Ike.
Phil, how's it going?
How are you?
Oh, I'm really good.
Great.
It's great talking to you.
Thank you.
I'll admit it took me a while to get it, but when I got it, I was hooked.
Wow.
The show in general. You know, the first bit I remember hearing was, and it's my favorite bit now, is the Bob Green food analyst bit where someone had found a chicken head in a McDonald's McNuggets box.
Yeah.
And this guy was adamant that people were going to keep going back to McDonald's no matter what. And he even said something like, If people found pubic hair in their burgers, they're still going to come back because McDonald's is Americana.
Yeah, the very best.
that was a great bit.
Yeah, I remember that bit now. I like those bits where you sort of take these American institutions and, they're unassailable, like Steven Spielberg,
yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. I'm glad you like that.
Yeah, that was a great bit.
Thanks, brother.
I was wondering if you had ever considered doing, or maybe you've done it, a version of, Phil Hendry version of War of the Worlds.
Well, we thought about doing junk like that, but the show every day is like that, and I don't know what, we could do a War of the Worlds and produce it.
I think it'd be great, and, you know, pull out some of your characters and just...
Have them get incinerated. Yeah, have R.C. Collins just get incinerated by a Martian ship. That'd be great.
Yeah, it would be great.
All right, man, thanks.
I appreciate it, Phil.
Bye-bye. People talk about that War of the Worlds. You know, every year how we want to do War of the Worlds, we want to do like a Christmas carol, and then I wind up getting drunk and I never do it. I'm so sorry. It's like my staff is like my children, you know. They always go, are we going to do War of the Worlds this year again, Phil? Huh? Are we? And I go, yes. And then I wind up getting drunk and stumbling in here. Ah, the hell with it. And Mike and Craig shed a tear, you know, standing there with their teddy bears. And it just doesn't happen. So I'm really working on it. I've joined Al-Anon. Anyway, here's John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, John.
Yeah, Phil.
Hi.
A couple of great moments. I've been on hold for a bit, so I got to think of a couple more. The best over the year was the guy that was hot. And hated his neighbors because they weren't cutting the power.
Yes, Lloyd, when he was sitting in his home and sweating and his wife was in mosquito netting and
yeah, exactly.
He refused to turn the air on. Yeah,
you had all these people calling up going, man, you got to take her to a shopping mall.
Yeah,
something.
Get her cooled off, man. And he says, I refuse to do it. And look at that guy. What was his neighbors were doing things that were really making him upset?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they'd have their lights on or their air conditioner on, and he was just wishing in those GD sons of bitches and just die.
Yeah, he's beautiful, man. Yeah,
and, actually, when you very first came on the air here in Denver, you duped me because you had the one of your staff taking Dennis DeYoung's birthday off.
Yes, that was Jeff Dowder.
And that was classic.
Yeah.
I mean, because you had me, and I was like thinking of calling in, but like, ah, screw that. I ain't gonna call into no radio talk show.
Right.
But,
yeah, I take
you
pride.
You had me going with that, and that was just priceless.
I take pride in the fact. I think this show gets people calling that ordinarily wouldn't call a talk show. And we get a lot of people saying, you know, I've never in my life stooped so low. I have never to call a talk show, but. This guy pulling Dennis DeYoung's. Now, we did it the other day with Mick Jagger's birthday, too.
Right, yeah.
And the Dennis
for some
DeYoung
reason,
was.
The Dennis DeYoung just really. Just
well, that was perfect because Dennis.
Home.
Well, you know why? Because who would ever in their right mind take off Dennis DeYoung's
exactly,
birthday?
Exactly.
Although Mick
yeah.
Jagger's birthday, it's feasible. In fact, Mike wanted the day off, and I wouldn't let him do it. All right, and you weren't getting Zach Starkey's birthday off either, Mike. Okay, thanks, John.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you. coming around here pitching. You want day? You know, he's. Did you hear? He wants to take Diana Ross's birthday off. And forget it. You can come in wearing one of her gowns. That's fine, but not taking the day off. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Stopping down here on You May Now Talk to Phil Hour, talking about stuff on the show, opinions on the show, crap you heard, crap, just crap. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're talking to you and me, and we're out of weird mode for an hour or so each week with You May Talk to Phil about our show. That's what we talk about. Here is Mike on The Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Fine.
I heard a bit probably a couple months ago. It was Dr. Al Cooper, and he was giving psychological advice to a truck driver that by the end of the interview, the truck driver was saying he was snorting crank off the edge of his hunting knife.
Yes. What had that guy called in about, Mike, the truck driver initially?
His wife was having a baby that wasn't white and weighed like 42 pounds or something.
His wife was having a baby that was black and was what?
Was 42 pounds, I think.
Yeah.
It was enormous, and he couldn't remember his wife's name or the baby's name. And it just got stranger and stranger.
And did Dr. Cooper recommend he snort crank off a hunting knife? Or was
No, he was doing that, but Dr. Cooper said that was okay and that everything was going to be all right. It was a great bit. I almost wrecked my car. The other thing I was calling about, I'm calling from Tucson. We've got a guy on another station here in town who's he's probably in his 70s, has been on the radio for forever, and he's a combination of Ted Bell in the Korean vet character. And he's great, but it's a serious show. He talks about politics and local issues.
Well, you should send us a tape of this so that we can hear it.
Oh, I will.
I'd love it if
he's
Lloyd...
hilarious, and he smokes on the air and has, like, coughing fits. And it's
that's too much, man. I would love to hear Lloyd doing a talk show. that would be the best, hearing him do a talk show through all of his...
You're catching on big time here in Tucson.
Well, I appreciate
your show.
Thank you, man. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. That snorting crank off of a hunting knife thing, I don't know where I got that. I think I got that out of some kind of a Soldier of Fortune magazine or some kind of a peripheral subterranean dealings that I had with paramilitary types at one point in my life. Not that I, you know, ever joined any group like that, but I must have been in a bar someplace where somebody was doing that. I'm sure I made a very quick exit. 1-800, or maybe not, as the case may be. 1-800-449-8686. JT, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, good evening. My wife and I are just big fans, and we just
Thank you.
To give you both ours, because she'll kill me if I don't add hers. First, mine, of course, is Chris Norton, and my all-time favorite is probably his No More Bush.
Yeah, No Bush Day?
No Bush Day at
right.
Santa Monica Pier.
Right.
I'm thinking, how the heck are you going to be able to tell this on the radio, but also... When you get these women so irate, that's even the best part about it, you know? And especially when the explosion of Love Tent, a couple months later.
The explosion of Love Tent was what?
When he was going to make love to 159 people in 24 hours.
Yes, to make up for the bombing in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, yes.
That exactly. Killed 160 people.
My wife's all-time favorite, though, is the Bob Green delusional myopia, where he was very afraid for Calista Flockhart's newly adopted kid because he was afraid he was going to eat it.
That was bitching. You got it. Yeah, I love that, man.
Because if you see a toddler in a grocery store and she starts shopping for vegetables, you're going to have to tell the local authorities because she's making stew for that baby.
Yeah, in other words, what happens when you're Calista Flockhart and you see a kid, it sort of transmorphs into a rump roast, you know?
Please include it if you can. But
that thing was awesome. You're right.
We appreciate you out here.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. That's just a single funny line, man. You don't have to do anything else. Calista Flockhart should not be allowed to adopt because she may eat the kid. I mean, okay. But true to a form on this show, we beat it to death over an hour. Here's Becky. Hi, Becky. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Becky.
Hi, I was calling in about the show where Alf euthanized his wife.
Alf?
I just recently started listening.
Uh-huh.
And I just heard this the other night.
Did you play that back? Oh, that's a classic from like 6 months ago or something. Yeah, Alf.
I loved it.
Yeah, Alf, his wife was very ill. And how do you know she's ill, Alf? Because she wasn't getting my dinner the way she used to. And I she had headaches. And so I decided to do what Dr. Kevorkian would do. I euthanized her. And how did he euthanize her?
He gave her sleeping pills and he put a pillow over her face.
Yes, he smothered her with a pillow. And then
he
didn't...
had to hold her down while she struggled.
Oh, God. Didn't he also bury her out in nature?
He did. He rolled her up in a sheet, took her up into the mountains, and buried her up there. And he had a nice little service there for her, which only he attended.
Yes. And, of course, he had to duck when a cop car came by.
Well, my favorite part, whenever someone would say that he murdered her, he would say, "How dare you? How dare you use that word?"
Yes, that's right.
You people are so melodramatic.
Exactly. It was a shallow grave, but yeah. Isn't there a fine line between you know murdering somebody and burying them in a shallow grave out in the, you know, and euthanizing and having a funeral in nature? Unbelievable. Thank you, Becky.
Yes, it was great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, good old Alf, man. That guy is patterned after a lot of the guys that used to talk to in Miami. You know, these old guys that would euthanize their wives and bury them out in nature. Were there any nature around there to bury them in? All there is like the Everglades. They just float to the surface. I don't know what they do. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Here is Lee. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How are you, man?
Good.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you. I'm so addicted. A lot of times I can't wait to hear it again in the morning on the refill.
That's weird.
It's terrible. Hey, a couple suggestions, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
There was one, it was like February, even January, Jeff Dowder talking about like some significant moments in music, like the first use of feedback.
Yeah.
Do you recall?
Sort of.
It just descended into him doing bong hits and playing on his drum pad.
Yeah, he generally, it's always great when you can hear him, you know, hitting on his pipe.
What's the origin of OWL? I mean, I know what it stands for, but
there's a song by Cypress Hill called "Sparkin' the Owl."
Okay, I didn't know.
And Cypress Hill being, you know, aficionados of the herb, I guess. I don't know what their story is, but you know. Yeah, they're
You don't really know what owl is either. You just
owl, I think, is what a joint looks like—a fatty. You know, if you look at a joint. In fact, last night I was looking at this joint. I'm just kidding. But if you look at a joint that's been smoked partially the way down, it probably looks like a little fat owl sitting there with a black, you know, top on it.
Okay. Write
Cypress Hill. I'm sure in about 2 years they'd write you back and tell you.
Okay. One other thing, please.
Yeah.
Larry Grover spanking it to the Mademoiselle ads.
Yeah.
On his mom's porch or whatever.
Yes.
And I can't believe nobody else said it. And I haven't heard him in ages.
Absolutely. Larry Grover's life, well, you know, during the Clinton, during the whole election, he was on prominently. So, yeah, we'll bring him back, man, when things heat up again in the politics thing. Thanks for calling.
Take a few minutes of him for me, man.
Thank you, brother. Okay, Sparkin' the Owl. We'll have to get that Cypress Hill. You know who turned me on to that? I think it was Juan or one of those guys. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.